May 2nd, 2017, Witnessing for Jesus program. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace, undo it." Many people think that they have to try hard, or they have to do something to get answers. But Jesus said, in the Old Testament even, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." In other words, you ask God to do something and ask him to do it. It's not always up to you. In fact, most of the time, major situations, God will take over and his spirit will work on the situation. Many times in our lives, we feel like we want to do something and we want to go out and we want to do that. We need to bring it before God and ask him to help us. In the Bible, from what I can see, it very clearly shows that God looks for a person to fill with his spirit, just like he did with Gideon, just like he did with the disciples in the New Testament. And he's looking for someone who can take his message of salvation and healing to the masses. Do you want to be that kind of person? Someone who can take his message to the masses? God sends out many of us. Some are helpful, some are not. But whatever the case is, if you feel you have a calling and you want to preach to the needy or you want to move to the mountains and be a monk or something like that, you have to work on doing that. You have to make plans to do it. You have to find out how to do it. But before you're really going to be able to do anything, you've got to have God's Spirit in you, and it's got to be flowing through you. In Isaiah 6:8, the voice of the Lord was speaking, and it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Isaiah said that. Isaiah was volunteering, and sometimes when you feel like the voice of the Lord is telling you something, then you say, "Here am I, send me." But you need to wait and make sure that God has got a purpose for sending you there. You don't want to run off to some country where you're not welcome, where you can't live there, or where you don't have anything to sustain yourself there. You have to make sure God's in your life and that God's Spirit is helping you to get there. Remember, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And when it's by his Spirit, it means we have to agree with it. Now you have to have the healing Holy Spirit in your life. It needs to be flowing into you. Romans 10:9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." John 3:5 says, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." You have to be forgiven for your sins. You have to ask Jesus Christ into your heart, and then you can start asking to do these other things. Maybe go out and pray for people, have miracles happen from your hand, from your heart. But you're not going to have any of this going on unless you have God's Spirit in your heart. When Jesus enters your spirit, he regenerates your spirit. It's like having your clothes washed, but instead of just coming out clean, they come out new and regenerated. That's how it is when he saves us. Many times people will be healed of smoking or drugs or some other addiction when this happens. It's not always the same with every person. It depends on faith of the people and God's purpose in your life, I think. It also says that we're saved by faith, not by works. So in other words, you have to start a process of accepting Jesus, accepting his regeneration, and trying to maintain it. If you feel like God's healed you of cigarette smoking, then don't go back and start smoking cigarettes again. And you also have to be confessing that Jesus' promises are there for you. It says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." It also says about salvation that in 1 John 3:14, the Bible says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death." Many times, if you still have hate in your heart, or you don't love the other people in the church, or don't want to help them, it's possible that you're really not saved properly. You need to ask God to regenerate you again and make sure that you can love the brethren and help him. 1 John 5:6 says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And this is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Romans 8:1 said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." When you do get saved, there isn't any condemnation for you after that. You have to ask Jesus to protect you, give you wisdom, and his mercy and his grace covers you. And if for some reason you do commit some sin, Lord forbid, 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Jesus' Spirit will flow like a river into our hearts and minds, and he fills us up like a bottle. He wants us to grow, and he wants our spirit to be filled so that we can fill that, give that out. John 4:14 says, "But whosoever drinketh this water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." If you understand what that's saying, he's saying that once he puts his spirit in you, it'll keep growing up, springing up into your life like a well into everlasting life. Psalms 23:5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Well, a river runs into us full of the spiritual water. It runs into us with the spiritual oil. And Psalms 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalms 43 says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord." Have you ever woke up in the night thinking of a song or singing a song? That's God putting that song into your heart. And you ever got a song into your mind, you can't get it out? You just keep thinking it and singing it all day? I believe that that's when God puts that into our heart. Hopefully those kinds of songs would always lead us to do something greater and something better for the Lord. Once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that Spirit can flow out from us through our words, through our mouth. John 7:37 says, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and crying, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So now we're talking about you've been filled, and now water, spiritual water, can flow out of you to other people. Isaiah 6:5 says, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he has taken with the tongs off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Now see, right here it says that his lips were touched with a coal from the fire, Isaiah 6:6. "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in my hand, in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs off the altar." Sometimes we feel like we've done something wrong and we need to be forgiven. Well, God has a way of hitting those sins and removing them, just like in the case of Isaiah, He had to have something removed from him, and the angel, he didn't have confidence that he was clean. He was saying he was a man of unclean lips. He wasn't confessing that he was clean. And so the Lord showed him symbolically that he was going to take that coal and burn that out. It's like cauterizing and make him clean. When it really comes down to it, and you want to be doing miracles and doing things for God, you got to make sure you're not like full of water, but then you don't do anything with it. You just are a dried out person, like a desert, no flowing of the Holy Spirit. You just sit there, you don't pay your tithes, you don't go out and visit people, you don't hand out any Bibles or tracts. You don't want to be that way. You want to be the kind of person that's like a river flowing with the Holy Spirit, chosen for a purpose, blessed by the Lord, filled with His Holy Spirit and His Word. You want to be that kind of a person. You want to be able to ask the Lord to create a miracle or to do a miracle for someone that you know or to heal someone. In order to do that, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to be chosen for the purpose. You have to be within God's will. And you need to have a clean conscience too. And God needs to choose you, just like in Judges 6:34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. In other words, Gideon was chosen then. Abiezer was the friend that followed with him, and he was part of that ministry. And sometimes you'll do that. Sometimes you follow with someone and be part of that ministry. But you have to be in God's will, and if you're not in God's will, it's like it says in the Bible that if you try to build something you're not in God's will, it may just fall down. It isn't going to last. So you need to try to get God's will before you do this and start out on a life of miracles. Not all of us can be like a Kenneth Hagin or a Catherine Coleman or some of the other major ministers like Billy Graham. We're not all going to be like that. We may have smaller purposes in our life than those people. And so we have to try to keep finding God's will in our life and make sure that the Holy Spirit is flowing in our life. And then we can ask these things. It says in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. God is there to take care of us, and He isn't there to hurt us, and He knows what's good for us, and He wants us to learn to be the kind of Christians that help other Christians. Especially in the times that we're going through now in this world, we need to really be filled with His Holy Spirit. Have a good day. This is Ted Turner speaking to you from the program Witnessing for Jesus. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for the victory. Have faith in God.